Hello, Black College Nine fans. This is Michael Coker. This is our podcast series for Black College Nines. We cover strictly HBCU baseball. Our podcast series has always been about the head coaches and the many things they do for their programs. And we like to keep it simple that way because there's no better persons to talk about HBCU baseball than the program's head coaches themselves. And today we have a good one. We've talked to Garrett Jackson in the past, the head coach of Southern University. But this one, this podcast is a little different. Southern, in our recent top 10 poll, was voted the number one team to defend its national championship that they won in 2019. Now, in 2018, they were 9-33. They had a 9-win and 33-loss record. And in 2019, they went 32-24, making that the biggest turnaround in NCAA Division I history. No other team has done what Southern did in 2019 compared to 2018. So we're going to get into that with the head coach. But to give you a rundown on the top 10 poll, which came out this week, this past Tuesday. Texas Southern comes in at number 10, Coppin State at number 9, Norfolk State from the MEAC at number 8, along with another MEAC member, Florida A&M, also Bethune-Cookman. Grambling tips in at number 5, and in the fourth spot is Jackson State, followed by Alabama State, and then back again from the MEAC is North Carolina, and then from the SWAC Conference is your number 1 team, Southern. And Southern has done some great things in the past. They're our premier HBCU baseball program. But things have changed. And the changes have come about when Garrett Jackson came in, the program was kind of a disarray. Not in a sense of problems. They didn't get those recruits in that they were hoping to get. And then Jackson steps in and everything just seems to fall into place. So, Coach Garrett Jackson, how are you today?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good. And I want to discuss your championship. After winning your championship, what was the priority?
You know, I think the priority is always recruiting and trying to figure out a way to get better. What you do or what you have done in the past only lasts for a minute, and then you need to move on and figure out how you can sustain success and take advantage of the momentum created, specifically in our situation, like you mentioned, going from 9 wins to technically it was 34 wins, but the two Florida A&M wins there. Didn't get onto our record, but to go and keep that momentum going and pick up some steam with that and basically put us in a position where the things that we were talking about to the kids that we were recruiting, going out and winning that championship and get to a regional in year two kind of added some validity to what it was we were saying. And so we weren't just given a sales pitch, so to speak, of, hey, we hope to do this or, hey, the plan is to do this. We actually went out and did what we said we wanted to do.
Well, in that season, there are quite a bit of things that happened. You knocked off some very good teams, especially ranked in the top 10 LSU. But beyond that, you took care of business within the conference. How has the conference helped prepare you for reaching the national, becoming national champions, and then advancing to the regional?
Well, you know, I think it's a very competitive league. Obviously, we only played the teams on our side in conference play with the way that the current conference setup is. So, but, you know, every weekend is a battle. You know, we had some close weekends, and we had some weekends where our offense started clicking, and we were able to get on some teams and put them away early. But that's the one thing that in my 2 years of being in the league, that the West is very, very competitive from top to bottom. And you even a team that is not necessarily having the best year, similar to what we were in 2018, you still gave teams fits. And so you have to be on top of your game always to put yourself in a position to go through and win the conference, specifically your division. So I think when you have those competitive weekends, you know, we had 8 of them and really got after it pretty good. And so I think, you know, with it being the way that it was with the weekend set up, it allowed us to go on and be prepared to get into the conference tournament and be prepared for another set of competitive games and then move on to the regional.
Now, your lineup was something that I, in all my years of baseball, I've never seen. Your big guys, your big hitters, were in the eighth and ninth position. Normally, those guys are in the third, fourth, and fifth. What was the deciding factor to put a lineup together that way?
So for me, I want to have balance top to bottom. I don't necessarily believe that you put your quote unquote worst hitters at the bottom of the lineup or your weakest hitters at the bottom of the lineup. I believe if you can build some balance throughout and you force a pitcher to have to grind through the bottom of the order, then when they get to the top, if the hitter's there just as credible, then they also have something to deal with. And more so a mindset of, hey, you're getting back to the top of the order, so in theory, those are supposed to be your better hitters. And we have some interchangeable parts. You know, you had Javen Williams at the bottom of the order who hit over 400 with a 478 on base percentage and 27 for 28 stolen bases. But at the leadoff spot, you had Tyler LaPorte, who was Conference Player of the Year, 65 RBIs and 96 or 97 hits that he finished with. So for me, it worked. And the way that they fit, I think it's important that when you're looking at putting the lineup together, you know, some pieces and some guys in certain positions fit better than others. You know, Cody Taylor was in that 8-hole for us towards the end of the year. He had a high strikeout number, but because he was a power threat, he had a 410, 415 on base percentage with 10 home runs. So you put that guy in the 8-hole, and again, you can't rest there. You're going to have to work against him. If you make a mistake, he's going to punish you. And then you had Hampton Hudson, who was in the 7-hole, who had a 410 on base percentage for us and hit just below 300 with 20 stolen bases. So when you can mix together some run scorers and run producers throughout the lineup, then you put yourself in a pretty good situation, and we were pretty fortunate last year that we could do that at the top and the bottom of the lineup.
Well, that caused that put a scare in the top-ranked team in the regional. Mississippi State hosted the regional. And in that game, it showed, because the nation was kind of riveted with Southern. These guys can hit. Now, even though you went into that regional and you really put a scare in the number 5-ranked team in the nation, how has that helped you prepare for the 2020 season? How is that preparing you?
I think what it did was, I'm not a small victory person, and I know I probably got a bunch of ridicule for my press conference post regional, but after that game specifically. But and again, this is no disrespect to Mississippi State, but we didn't make them work too hard to win that game. That was a game that we should have won, and we play better defense. We throw more strikes. They weren't going to stop us from scoring. We had, you know, we were comfortable, you know, like you said, in being in that atmosphere. You talk about 14,000 people. Well, for 7 innings, that place was dead quiet. And it wasn't because they were playing bad. It was we were better than – I don't think we were better than what Mississippi State expected, because their baseball guys obviously did their homework. They had researched it. Now their players may have been like, this is a team from the SWAC. Don't worry about it. But I definitely think we were better than what the crowd expected. So it kept them out of it for the longest time. And when you're in those environments, especially in the their crowd is the biggest advocate, obviously, for them. And that can take the other team and take them out of it. And so I think it allowed our guys to come out of that with the understanding of, should have won that game, that we can play with anybody. And so, you know, again, my challenge to them all last year was play clean baseball and see what happens. And in that game, we didn't play clean.
Well, you got a makeup date against them on May 5th at Starkville, a return of the regional. That's going to be a good one. That's towards the end of the season. But how has that helped recruiting? How has your national championship win helped recruiting? How has it changed the atmosphere of Southern baseball? Or has it changed?
You know, what I think is, from a recruiting standpoint, again, like I said at the top, I believe that there were things that we told people that we wanted to get accomplished. There were things that I talked about the first day I got hired in my press conference. You know, one of the first things I mentioned was going to Omaha. And that was the whole goal, was to be the first HBCU to get to Omaha. And so I think what it did was it opened people's eyes to the idea of all the things that I inherited when I got in here, and our staff, and you got the NCAA penalties and APR and practice restrictions and scholarship restrictions and all those types of things. I think what it did was, once you set a goal in mind, you set the atmosphere for that goal, and you push people in to get those things accomplished, then again, through good coaching and quality players, anything is possible. And so I think that it showed that, from a coaching standpoint, that I have a really good coaching staff. They do a good job in developing, motivating players to get them in a position to play. And that our kids were able to go out and buy into what it is that we were teaching them, and they saw the fruits of their labor throughout the course of last season.
Well, that's going to help, because you got a tough schedule this year. LSU, February 18th, after coming off of playing New Orleans or Alcorn State in conference games, Alabama State and Grambling, and then you have Texas Tech for two game series. That's tough. Texas, for those that don't know, is ranked in the top 10, seems like every year for the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's we set out to have the most competitive non-conference schedule that we can, because again, the ultimate goal is Omaha. Well, you're not going to be able to put yourself in a position to get there if you can't go into those environments and be competitive. And it's the first time that we put our kids in that atmosphere in a regional, we got no shot. And so that was the beauty about, I think, last year with our guys. They're excited, obviously, being in the postseason for the first time, the senior class having winning record for the first time. But when it came to game day, it was business as usual. There was no jitters. We actually probably had more jitters and nervousness in the conference tournament than we did in the regional. That's the goal, is to continue to put our kids in those environments. So when we do end up back in that regional again, we're comfortable, we go out, we do what we need to do, handle our business, and hopefully walk out of there with a win.
Well, and then you have your conference schedule. Now, I've always considered the SWAC as a hitter's conference. I mean, you look across the board and you look at the stats and the numbers, and you see that it's stacked with hitters piling up RBIs, runs driven in, hits. Some of the statistical champions, HBCU statistical champions, they come from the SWAC. How do you slow these hitters down? What do you see as being different compared to the MEAC conference, which is more of a pitcher's conference?
Well, I think it's just that. I think it's being able to go out and recruit, develop arms that can come in and throw strikes, change speeds, control the running game, those types of things. Last year, we did not do the best job of doing that, and we were fortunate to be as successful as we were, because we averaged about 8 runs a game. I think this year, that goal with our pitching staff is to go out and give us a chance by not walking people, not having compound mistakes, and then playing good defense. And in this league, if you can not walk people and play good defense, you'll put yourself in a position to win the league every year, because year in and year out,
Well, to be winding the podcast down, the big question is what everybody really wants to hear from you, Coach Jackson, is you're the defending champions. What is it, what's the outlook? You've already told us what how you're preparing for the season. Is it safe to say that you could be a repeat champion in 2020?
You know, I think we have too many unknowns. I think we have a talented group, but we're young. We're only returning one position player from last year's team that played every day. We're returning some guys that have some experience that are fighting for some starting jobs as we speak. But we brought in a good group of freshmen. A couple transfers, so you know when we roll that lineup out there, it's possible that people won't know any of the people that could be in the lineup because they won't be familiar faces except for, like I said, one guy, which is Hanson Hudson. But there's some guys that are returning that have a chance to be out there on a regular basis. But you know, with the competition that we're having right now, early spring, we could start five freshmen, and so as you know, dealing with freshmen in that transition, again, they're talented freshmen, but they haven't played a college game yet. And so to say that we will repeat, you know, like I say, with all those faces, that's a tough one to say right now. I think it just depends on how our guys go through the course of the season. And the goal is to put ourselves in a position at the end of the year to have a chance to repeat. You know, right now, with as young as we are and the things we have to teach them, again, the main emphasis is on play clean baseball. Don't worry about the wins. Don't worry about the losses. Don't worry about the numbers. Just go out and play clean baseball, and let's see what happens at the end of the day.
Well, Hampton Hudson is a Black College Nines elite 2020 preseason second teamer. Like Coach said, he's back for the only member from the coming back for the from that championship squad. But Coach, appreciate you giving us this time to spend time with you on this podcast. People, we really wanted to hear because you came in as the preseason number one. How are you gonna move that momentum? I appreciate the podcast.
Well, I appreciate you.
Anytime, Coach.